Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Ooh, afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
I'm Gemma Abel, if there are guests here and you don't know who I am. That was an awesome time of worship. Thank you, team. That was fun. We said we were going to have fun this morning, and I believe I had fun, so I believe we had all had fun. Cool. I have a question today. I like to pose questions. Here's my question. How big are you? That's my question. Oh, no. Oh, Juliet. Juliet, could you come here, please, sweetheart? Thank you. Is Ron here today? Ron?
Which one?
No, the other one.
Yes, Ron.
Ron, could you just pop here for me? Thanks. Sorry, Ron, I couldn't see you there. Don't worry, it's nothing embarrassing. I just thought of you when we were worshipping Jesus. I was like, you know what? Ron is the tallest man I know. So here we go. Okay. Juliet, stand next to Ron, dear. So we have Ron. We have Juliet. Let's stick someone who's Jossie. You're kind of average. Come in the middle. We don't have any teeny tinies. They've all gone. Okay. So these guys are different sizes. Yes? Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Juliet is a teeny tiny little one. Jossie is average size, and Ron is the tallest man I know. So, different sizes, yes, we agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we ready to be spiritual? Are we ready? Are they the same size people?
No.
Thank you, Adrian! Yay! Adrian! Adrian, what did you say?
With Christ in them.
Thank you. With Jesus Christ inside of them, all of these people are the same size. Thank you, people. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you. Okay, so Brian, senior pastor, said no. Oh, dear.
So,
I said, are we going to be spiritual? So, we are all different sizes, yes? We are teeny tiny people, little babies. We are big people. We are Ron, the tallest person I know. We are all different sizes, but Jesus Christ inside of us, we are the same size, yes? We are massive. We are huge. We are whatever word you want to use for a description there, because I can't think of any more. Okay, cool. I'm glad we've got past that point. So we're all the same size with Jesus Christ inside of us. We have established something this morning. Woohoo! That's all you need to know. You can all go home. No, I do have a little bit more. Just a little bit. I can't see this down here. So I'm just going to rearrange myself. Aha. Okay, so often, like Adrian, being a very sensible man, said a very good answer there. And actually, I would feel like quite silly by saying that. If I was sitting in your place right now, and someone said, are we all the same size? And I'd be like, well, I know the theory. Yes, we are with Jesus Christ inside of us. But I'd feel like a right nugget saying that. But actually, it's truth.
Yeah.
Yeah? So why deny what is inside of us, okay? Jesus Christ is in us. It is truth to say he is inside of us. Therefore, I am massive. Therefore, I am the size of the creator of the universe because he lives within me. Okay? So it is fine to say that. And we don't need to be like, haha, you're a super spiritual person. Because I know we tease and I know we play around with words. But this is truth. And so when I was thinking about this, I was like, you know what? Gem, you're pathetic that you feel silly or embarrassed by saying little comments like that, because actually it is truth. And it is what I need to stand by, and it is what I need to live by. So how big do we think the enemy is? How big, Adrian? Little? Teeny tiny? Okay, the enemy is not massive. He does not obviously have Jesus Christ inside of him. I imagine the enemy just to be an ordinary sized person. Nothing special. Nothing big. But actually, what does it say? He's been put under our feet. He is no big monster. He is not this giant thing charging around hell and the spiritual realm going, ah! He is nothing. Okay? He is a normal sized person that actually is nothing to us. We can stand on top of him. He has been crushed, he has been defeated, and so therefore, he is not a big person. So why do we get intimidated? Why do we get scared when circumstances come in front of us? Why do we get intimidated when we pray? Why do we get intimidated when Oppression comes when rubbish life stuff hits us. Why do we get worried? Why do we get anxious? Why? I feel like my daughter. Why? You know, why do we get intimidated? Why can we not rise above difficulties sometimes? Why did they end up crushing us? If we are huge, and I mean beyond huge, and I mean beyond massive, beyond a tremendously enormous thing, why, if we're that big, do we get intimidated or fearful or anxious or scared or worried or whatever word, grumpy? Why do we get grumpy? Yeah? Why do we get grumpy if things are going wrong? He is this big. Why do we get grumpy? Why can we not be victorious and rise above it? Why do we have days where we feel rubbish? Why do we have days where we have absolutely no motivation and can't bother to get out of bed? Why do we have these days? I'm just asking you all the questions today. Why? Tell me. If we believe that we are tremendously massive, enormous, huge, whatever on the inside, why do things scare us, worry us, intimidate us? Yeah? If we are massive and everything surrounding us is huge and massive, it's all God, yeah? He's the creator of the universe. So he's not just in us, he is completely surrounding us wherever we go. You with me? Yeah? Are we agreeing? Is this right what I'm saying? Yeah, good. I hope so. Everything around us, he is there. He is surrounding us 24/7.
Amen,
Jen. He is surrounding us. I'm just distracted by the running up and down the stairs. He is surrounding us 24/7. So why? Why do we get worried? That's really funny. I don't know how Pastor Paul does this. It's a lot quieter in the evenings. You don't have that. It's really funny. Anyway. Anyway. Right. So why is it so hard to imagine how big we are? Why is it so hard to believe how big we are? Why do we struggle with this idea, okay? There is a video clip. Yeah, okay, cool. There is a video clip. Because basically, if you don't know, I run Sunday night evenings and here, which haven't been on for the last 3 weeks, and they're not going to be on until September. And I always bring a video clip on Sunday nights. Woohoo! It's what we do. It's the way we like to do church and have a little fun. So, Pastor Paul's away. We will play. And we will bring Sunday nights to Sunday mornings. So here is the Sunday morning video clip for this week. Woohoo! Somewhere. Can we bring the front lights down as well, please, John?
Where did you get it? What?
I pulled it out of an anvil that was on a stone in a churchyard.
The lad's a young Samson!
You're making a fool of us, boy. Now tell the truth.
But I did, sir.
Then come on, prove it. Now to the stone with you.
Yes, prove it! Come on, prove it!
All right, boy. Let's have the miracle. Now, wait a minute. Anyone can pull it once it's been pulled.
You
go to it, Kay. Give it all you got. Put your feet in it.
Here now. Push him, I say.
I turn you one side.
Hold
this.
Hold on, that's not fair.
I say we let the boy try it.
Well, that's what I say. Give the boy a chance.
Go ahead, son.
It's a miracle ordained by heaven.
This boy is our king.
Well, by Jove.
What's the lad's name?
What? Arthur.
Hail, King Arthur!
Hail, King Arthur! Long live the king!
Cool. So that was from Sword of the Stone. If you've never seen Sword of the Stone, it's a brilliant film. Are the lights... Are they... Yeah, sorry, I can't see. Thanks. There we go. So, Sword in the Stone, tiny little boy, they call him Wart throughout the film. Tiny little boy, and he does all the dishes and he runs around after them and he gets treated really meanly and they feed him scraps. Tiny little boy, yet what did he have inside of him? He had the king's blood inside of him, which allowed him to pull that stone, that sword from the stone, okay? No one knew who he was, no one knew who his descendants was, no one knew where he came from until then. And they were like, actually, this is a king. He had king's blood inside of him, which allowed him to do something that no other man could do. No matter how big they were, no one could do it. But he had something inside of him that allowed him to pull that sword from the stone. Yeah? King's blood. It's a powerful thing. We have the king's blood inside of us. Woohoo! We could be that, pulling the sword from the stone. Yeah? It is incredibly hard to sometimes imagine, comprehend, or, you know, believe, whatever word you want to say, how big we are, how huge things are on the inside of us, how big we are in the spiritual realm. It is incredibly hard to think that, for my head anyway, that kind of large, that kind of scale, to even imagine, to believe, to whatever word. But it is very simple to believe and to understand and to know how small the enemy is. It is incredibly easy to know that he is completely under my feet. It is incredibly easy to know he has absolutely no way over my life. It is incredibly easy to know, actually, every circumstance, must bow. I must bow to my word because I have the blood of the king inside of me. Yeah? It is easy to understand small. It is incredibly hard to imagine big. So if you can't, go with the small. Go with, actually, I know, I believe, I know exactly how small you are, enemy. Yeah. Therefore, things aren't an issue. Things are not a problem. We know how small he is, okay? And it does not matter, like Wart there, or King Arthur, it does not matter where you come from, your family background, your financial status, your whatever, you have the blood of the king inside of you. Therefore, you are victorious in every circumstance, yeah? No matter what age you are, no matter who you're leading in your life, no matter who you are talking to at work, no matter who you're witnessing to, no matter who you are praying for, no matter what is going on, you have the DNA of Jesus Christ inside of you. Okay? The enemy has no right over your life. Let's get that right now. Let's believe that right now. Because you are massive. You are enormous. There is something inside of you that says, I have the creator of the universe inside of me. I am this enormous and I can do whatever I want. And that's not in an arrogant way. That's not in a prideful way. That's in a, I know exactly who I am. I know who reigns inside of me. I know who surrounds me every day of my life. Therefore, I can stand on what he says. Yeah? What does it say in, let's have a look. 1 John. Sorry, not 1 John, John 1. Let's not send you to the wrong place. Go to the beginning, not the end. Pages stuck together. Jesus is the Word. Woohoo! Today, I want to talk about the Word. That how big we are was just a side note, by the way, just to prepare you. Here we go. Jesus is the Word. He existed in the beginning, before time began. This Word was with God, and indeed the Word was God. He was the Word that God spoke in the beginning. By this spoken Word, through Jesus, everything was created. Nothing could exist if it were not for him. In Jesus, in this Word, was the life that brought God's light into people's lives. In the Word was the life that brought God's people into the light. Today, it's all about the Word of God. Yeah? There is a... Yes, there is. There is a psalm. Just deciding my order. Oh, Jesus, you make me chuckle in my head and nobody gets it. It's really funny. Except for Adrian. Oh, dear. Please stop. Thank you. Psalm 138 is the most, it's brilliant, it's wonderful. Read it. There you go. That's my bit done. But it says, where are you? somewhere. Should we just read Psalm 138? Because it's not very long and it's really exciting. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart before the gods. I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Amen. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Yes, but it says, for you have exalted above all things your name. Yes, we always sing about exalting Jesus' name and we always sing and lift his name up high. But his word, he is exalted above all things, his word, because it is his word that brought the life. Amen. Yeah, it was his word in the beginning. He spoke light came. He spoke, things were formed, animals, creatures, light came. He spoke and it brought life. Isn't this the most exciting thing? We speak, we bring life. Isn't? Agree with me here. This is the most exciting thing ever. All we have to do is speak. I live with Lottie. Lottie talks loads, but she speaks and she brings life. How exciting is that? It's an exciting thing to speak. Don't ever be put down. Don't ever let anyone tell you you speak too much, because speaking brings life. That's exciting, but also it can cause death. Proverbs 18. Power of the tongue. Life or death. It has both. But we are Christians. We have Jesus Christ inside of us. So we choose it for life. Yes?
Amen.
But be careful. Negative words can bring negative consequences. Negative words can bring things in your life. Saying something out loud can make it manifest, can make it happen. It's not good. Don't do that. Speak life. There you go. Don't do that. Speak life. Speak life into people. Speak life into circumstances. Speak life around people. Be positive. Be optimistic. Be excited. Be hopeful in your words.
Hallelujah.
And life will come forth.
Yeah.
That sounded very posh, didn't it? Life will come forth. I'm just giggling. The truth is the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
It brings life. Honor his word.
Yeah.
Honor it. Yes. Above all things, he is honoured, he has exalted his name and his word. And I think I forgot that. Or I had never even seen that. I don't know, I probably have read it because it was highlighted in my Bible before I got to it. But it was something new recently. I was like, actually, his name, of course. We sing about it all the time. It's very hard not to exalt his name because we do it naturally when we come to church and we worship. We naturally exalt his name. Exalt his word. Speak his word.
Yes, amen.
There is power in the word, Jesus. In the word, Jesus, there is. But in the word, there is power. There is truth. There is life. There is excitement. There is passion that comes out of us when we speak God's word. I can wake up and ramble on. When I speak the truth, it's a whole different tone that comes out of my mouth. It's a whole different way of thinking that quickly goes on in my brain. When I speak truth, something happens on the inside of me, all over me, because it is my spirit saying, this is truth. I'm excited. I like what you're saying. I agree with you. Let's make things happen. That's a little dance, isn't it? But it's my spirit connecting with my words. Yes? When your spirit connects with what you're saying, things form in front of your eyes. Things happen. Circumstances disappear. Amazing abundance comes into your life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Healings happen to people
because
you're agreeing with what he's saying.
Amen.
You know, God wants to save people more than we want to save people. He wants to heal people far more than we want to see people healed. His compassion is far greater than ours. He wishes for no man to perish. He wants everything much more than we do. If we just say, yes, amen, it will be done.
Yes, yes.
If we agree with what is written in here, things will happen. I don't know. I want to cry, actually. There was a plead in my heart today that says, I'm sorry, I just spat all over you. I'm sorry. There was a plead in my heart today that says, oh, my words. Agree with the word of God and things will happen. All his promises are yes and amen. It says that somewhere in there. And that's all it takes.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Yes, God, you wish for no man to perish. I agree. I declare that over my family. I will not see them perish. I will see them come to Jesus Christ before they die. I agree they will be entering into the kingdom of God when their time is done here. I agree that you want prosperity in my life because that is what you say in your word. I agree with what is written down. And I say, yeah. I'm going to take hold of your word. I'm going to stand myself firmly upon it. And I'm going to say, yes, God. Amen. I do not need to ramble on with my own words. I do not need to chitter-chatter away to God. I just need to say, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was him, and I'm standing upon him. And I'm agreeing with his will that is in this book. I don't need to be intimidated. I don't need to fear what I might pray in a prayer meeting. I don't need to think or write amazing things down and think, oh, does this sound spiritual enough? Okay, I can read this out. I need to take hold of this. I need to open it up and I need to read it out. Yeah? I need to declare what it says in here. If I do that, things will happen.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Changes will happen.
Yes.
God's kingdom will come. And it will be more significant. And it will be here on this earth. And we will see so much more of it. And it will be absolutely incredible. And oh my word.
Amen.
Breathe. I don't do that much either. Why do we ramble on with our own words? When we have the words that create, that brings life and death. Why do we ramble on? These words are here. I was looking at the Proverbs that I said earlier, Proverbs 18, I think it is, that it says about the tongue has the power of life and death. The life word is it means obviously living and being alive, but like reviving in the springtime, and the death word actually means death. Not just spiritual death, death. No way, there's nothing else happening. No eternal life, just death. Yeah, so it is actually that severe. Your words, they're that powerful. Okay, so the word of God carries all power and authority, yeah? It carries victory. Do we use it, is the question. That's my question today, really. Yes, how big are you? Because you know you're enormous. But do you use the word of God? Do you use it in your day? Do you use it in your life? Do you use it on a regular basis? Do you know it in order to speak it out? And I was reading the story of Esther, and I haven't really read it much before at all. I don't know how long it's been, 7 years of Christianness, I haven't really dived into it much. I knew the story, but just to admit openly here, I've learned quite a lot of it through watching VeggieTales the last year of my life, and I grew quite fond of it. So I was like, I'm going to read this a lot more. Since we've had the VeggieTales DVD, and I learned a bit more about the story of Esther, it's actually quite accurate, the vegetables. They do quite a good job. I was like, let's actually read this in the Bible and see what it has to say for itself. And the story of Esther. I would like to be, I think the church, actually, should be like Esther.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, that's good then. Positive. Okay, and there's one verse that came out of Esther, and it's chapter 8, verse 8, and it says, "Now write another decree in the king's name on behalf of the Jews as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for no document written in the king's name and seated with his ring can be revoked." Okay, so this was the king saying to Esther, "You are brilliant, you are my queen, you have enormous favor with me, write. Here's my authority, use my authority. Write a decree, seal it in my name, and everyone will listen to it."
Yeah.
People do.
Absolutely.
Everyone listens to it. She saves her people. Her people are in trouble because the Haman, the person before, had been really nasty. And it's a really good story. Read it. And anyway, she has no interest in being queen at all. And she goes along, becomes queen, finds incredible favor with the king because she goes to God and says, "What do I do?" And God opens up favor. he opens up the door and he says, this is what you should do. And following that, you know, before this, I might add, she's a normal sized person, completely insignificant, completely unimportant, becomes queen, okay? Really, really cool. And complete favor with the king, and he says, okay, write a decree in my name, seal it with my signet ring, and everybody will listen to it. And they do. Everybody listens to the decree. It is taken throughout the towns and the nation, and people listen to the decree that Esther wrote. Not the king, she wrote it. She's a girl. She wrote it.
Yeah.
And she wrote it on behalf, if you like, of the king. She used his name. We have that with Jesus. We can write, we can speak with the authority of the king. He's given us all power, all authority to speak and to speak his words, but with power and with authority. It's a serious job. It's an awful big responsibility to speak into people's lives. I think it's an enormous responsibility. It's incredible. You have the power to bring life to someone. You have the power to speak with authority into someone's life and say, hey, how you doing? What about this? What about Jesus? What are you doing today? Are you praying? Are you spending time with him? Are you seeing healings? Are you seeing fruit in your life? What is going on? You have power to say, hey, Chris, are you healed today? Yes. Do you know what I mean? You have power to say, okay, sick person, let's get moving. You have power and authority to do things. And it is a huge responsibility because equally, you say something wrong and that comes with consequences. Check your heart because whatever comes out will be what is in your heart. Yeah. If your heart is pure and righteous and in the ways of God, pure righteousness, decrees, ways of God will come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Come on.
If you're having to think, oh, is it a bad day? Do I dare talk to that person? Will something dodgy come out? That's not good. Just to share that. Not so great. Yeah? If you are, you know, seriously, if you have bad days, speak to someone, pray with them, get it right. And then you can go about your day and not even fear this power of death. You can bring power of life.
Yes,
without even thinking about it. You can just smile and someone will be ecstatically happy for the rest of the day. You can bring joy into someone's life just by saying, hey, should I make you a cup of tea? You can do whatever you want. You can bring life. And life to the full. And life with abundance. And life with promise and influence. The word is influential. Let's see. Matthew 24, let's use some scriptures now. I'm going to go through, yeah, let's talk about the word. Okay, Matthew 24, it says, the heavens and earth will end, but my words are eternal and will remain forever. Words do not go anywhere, okay? John 1, which we read earlier, by this spoken word, through Jesus, everything was created. Nothing could exist if it were not for him. In Jesus, in this word, was the life that brought God's light into people's lives, okay? So his word is active, it does stuff, it creates, it inspires, it brings life, it brings health, it brings prosperity, it brings life, it brings all these things, okay? Acts 19, so God's word was spread more and more widely and became increasingly influential and powerful in its effect. It's influential, it's powerful. Every word carries influence. Every word can do stuff in people's lives. It does stuff in my life.
Yeah,
I read it and I go, whew. Shouldn't be doing that. Let's do this. It's not wrong to read it and be like, oh, correction, hold my hands up, didn't realise. You can play ignorant all you want, or you can say, okay, God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I neglected that part. Let's go. Let's step this way. Yeah? Whatever you want to do, however you want to admit. But you know what? The easiest thing is to not be in denial. Sounds like we're in a meeting now, doesn't it? Don't be in denial. Just lay it all out and say, God, you know what? I got it wrong. Or, actually, I neglected that part of my life, and I've let that slip. And so I've read this. I want to get it right again. Let's submit that to you, and let's go this way. Yeah, it's not wrong to walk backwards around the table and go out the other side and say, okay, got it wrong. I want to get it right. If your heart is to be right, if your heart is to get it right, he will honor you. And he will push you and push you and push you as hard as he possibly can to ensure that you succeed. You know what? And you know the most encouraging thing? I've completely gone off the track that I was going. You know the most encouraging thing? God does not lie. Woohoo! People lie all the time. Yeah? People can lie. It's easy. We're all born sinners. We are all natural liars, I suppose. In a way, you could be. Don't judge me on this. I'm sorry if I'm offending people. But we're all born sinners. So actually, in our natural being, lying is probably quite natural.
Yeah, that's right.
We're born again. Lying is taken out. If we repent of it and we say, no, I don't want that part anymore. God does not lie.
He does.
Every single word that we read, we can say, yes, I believe. Yes, I want that. Yes, that is mine. I am going for gold. I am having this because it's mine. He does not lie. That is the most encouraging thing I think I've said today. God does not lie. Oh, thoughts in my head. He does not lie. He's truth through and through. And whatever we read, whatever we speak out, whatever goes on, he's not lying to us. If he says, you can be healed, you can be healed. If he says, you can go and make disciples. You can go and make disciples till the ends of the earth. You can go because he does not lie. If he says, Jem, you hate standing up and public speaking, but if you open your mouth, I will fill it for you. I know he will do it. And I will stand here and feel like a pillock for the whole 45 minutes that I'm up here. But he will fill my mouth because I'm opening it wide. All I do is make the action. It's like a little puppet. On a string. No, Elton John, puppet on a string. No, yeah. Anyway. Oh, dear. See, these are the kind of thoughts that go through my head when I'm trying to talk. It really doesn't help. Puppet on a string. Seriously. Open your mouth wide. He will fill it. It says that somewhere. I think I may have wrote it down, actually, somewhere. Did we write it down? Psalm 51. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praises. Psalm 81. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Ezekiel, but when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, this is what the Lord, Sovereign Lord, says. Ezekiel 24, at that time your mouth will be opened and you will speak with him and no longer be silent. So you will be a sign to them and they will know that I am the Lord God. You open your mouth, you let truth come out. You're displaying the kingdom of God. You're giving people hope. You're giving them life. And you're saying the kingdom of God is real, it's tangible, it exists because I'm speaking it to you.
Right.
It's something people can grab hold of. It's something people can see and say, I'm not sure about Jesus. I don't know whether I believe in God. I don't really have a clue about this whole spiritual side of things. But you're talking hope into my life. You're talking life into my life. You're bringing healing. You're bringing provision. You're bringing things when you're speaking to me. It's tangible to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is really funny. You bring life. You display the kingdom of God when you speak.
That's right. You do.
So speak. Don't ever be silent. Stand up. Declare his word. Yeah? God's word is the lamp unto our feet, the sword of the spirit in our hand. The word is in us. The word is our vision. Yeah, he gave Abraham vision through what? He gave Abraham his word through visions, didn't he? Let's get the words the right way around. The word requires actions. Sorry to say that. Requires actions. Yeah, God spoke words to Moses. And he then went and repeated them to his people on many, many occasions, didn't he? But people responded. They knew, without a doubt, it was God speaking. Moses literally was a puppet. He stood there, opened his mouth, and God filled it. Yeah? Because God had already spoken to him. He had met with him in different places, up mountains, wherever. And God had revealed words to him. And then he stood in front of his people and said, right, this is exactly what God has said. He repeated the exact words. And people knew it was God. They knew it was not Moses. Yeah? But people responded immediately to Moses and said, okay, I'm responding. They knew it was God. So they responded. So it requires a response. And the word is a covenant. God does not lie. Every word written down is the truth. Yeah? He's spoken it. Therefore, it will happen. It will be fulfilled. It will happen. Without a doubt. Thank you, Ron. Sorry. It will happen. He does not lie. It is a covenant to us to say this will all be fulfilled. And it is an exciting moment. Cool. Beans. Woohoo. Also, on a side note, the word will give you strategies. It will give you things to pray about. It will give you things to declare over certain people's lives. If you stand up, everybody stand up. Here we go. Let's be practical. We like to be practical. Oh, Brian just kicked it. There it is. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't find it. Let's be practical about this. Okay, the word gives you strategies. The word, when you open it, it shows you things, and it gives you words to declare over people's lives. It gives you promises to declare over people's lives, and then you will see them fulfilled. So, right now, let's pray. Well, let's be quiet, actually. Let's be quiet. Let's hear from God. That's a good point, isn't it? We've done loads of talking today. I've done loads of talking. So, we're going to shut up, and we're going to just be quiet in front of Jesus. Okay, you might get a scripture, you might get, it comes into your head, you might get numbers giving you verses and chapters and whatever else. He might tell you to look at a certain page or whatever in your Bible, but he will give you strategies, yeah? I have scriptures this year that God's given me to declare over young people and their lives, and they're amazing when I look at them. And I'm like, yes, because the promises he has given are examples of Jesus, when he was on earth, and the scriptures just, they're fantastic. Because they talk about Jesus and Jesus being in his Father's house. And I'm like, yes, God, I want this generation and the next generation to want to be in your house, to want to be sitting at your feet, to want to be desiring you, to want to be talking about you. Yeah? Right. Cool. Thank you, Jesus. That's all, yeah, let's just be quiet. Father, I thank you that from this day forward, your word will become an active tool in our lives. I thank you that your word from this day forward will be exciting when we read it. I thank you that it will stir passion in our lives. I thank you that you will show us scriptures to declare and proclaim over people's lives and over our town. And Father, I thank you that your word has power. And I thank you, Lord, that you show us how to use it, you give us confidence to use it, and you increase our boldness to use it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.